Ever since Plato, people have been fascinated by tales of a lost city of Atlantis, buried somewhere off the shores of the old world. Mark Adams traveled to Greece, Malta, Morocco, and southern Spain to investigate competing claims for where Atlantis may have been. He tells us what he found in just a bit. And a former American ambassador to Switzerland takes us behind the embassy doors to find out what diplomats do to represent the U.S. overseas. Let's start today's travel with Rick Steves on the Yucatan Peninsula of Mexico. Its lovely tropical beaches on the Riviera Maya are a tourist mecca. But head inland and you'll find ancient Mayan temples, big city culture, folk art in small colonial towns, and tropical wildlife. You might even find a pink feather floating toward you near one of two flamingo reserves. Ellen Fields and her husband helped American expats with their Yucatan Living website for many years. Ellen joins us now for a look at the Yucatan, a look that most tourists to Cancun never get to experience. Ellen, hola.
Thank you for having me, Rick.
So when you think about the Yucatan, how is it distinct from Mexico?
Well, the Yucatan has always been a little different from the rest of Mexico. For many, many years, it was isolated from the center of Mexico by mountain range and jungles. It was just pretty much impossible to travel between the two. So Yucatan had much more influence from Cuba and New Orleans and Florida and Europe.
Now, when most people think of the Yucatan, they're thinking of Cancun or Tulum or the beach resorts, and possibly they're thinking of the pre-Columbian sites. The big city is Merida. Talk a little bit, just in general terms, of if you're going to travel to the Yucatan, what might you want to include in your itinerary?
Well, certainly the cities you mentioned, Cancun and Tulum and Playa del Carmen along the Mayan Riviera, are fabulous. And we go there whenever we can for weekend trips because it's a great place to vacation. When we were thinking about where to live, however, we wanted to live in a place that was more where people live as opposed to a vacation city. And Merida is not only the capital of the state of Yucatan, but it is the financial and business and cultural center of the southeast of Mexico. It's a city of a little less, I believe, than a million people. It might be a million people by now. And it has an international airport, and it has very modern facilities as well as a very ancient and interesting culture. So it seemed to us like a great combination of things.
Now, when people are dreaming of the Yucatan, I think it's important that they see the big city. That's sort of the reality. And they can see the pre-Columbian sites, and they want to get their paradise on the beach, what you call the Mayan Riviera, or the Riviera Maya. My experience was on a Cabañas Tulum, just south of the ruins at Tulum, and it was one of the most dreamy, romantic beach experiences I've had in my life. If you wanted to get away from Cancun, which is the opposite of that, Cancun is just the epitome of a big cruise resort. Where would you go to have your paradise beach in the Yucatan?
Yeah, I call Cancun Las Vegas by the sea. There are a lot of wonderful places to go. For one thing, there's a great little village called Puerto Morelos, which is just south of Cancun.
Puerto Morelos.
It's on, the same, same Caribbean, same beautiful beaches. It's just a small town, and it's about 25 minutes south of Cancun, maybe even less.
So you could fly into Cancun like any resort traveler, rent a car, and in less than an hour be set up in a little beach town.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, if you rent a condo or something, you know, get a vacation rental in Puerto Morelos or a nice hotel. We have a client there called Casa Caribe, which has a beautiful hotel, you know, that overlooks the beach and the ocean. You can walk to all sorts of great restaurants. You can walk to the beach. You can go snorkeling right off the beach. You can go fishing. It's a great place. And then you, from there, if you have a car, you can drive to Chichen Itza. You can drive down to Tulum for the day. You can drive to Valladolid, which is a smaller town than Merida, but it is a colonial city. It's about an hour and a half from there.
And what would the highlights of pre-Columbian Yucatan be?
Well, everybody says, you know, everybody talks about Chichen Itza, and certainly if you're there, I wouldn't miss it because it is pretty fantastic, especially the main pyramid, the Castillo. But I also love some of the smaller sites that are in south of Merida. Uxmal, which is not smaller, and it's very different from Chichen Itza. It's a beautiful place. And then there's even smaller places called Labna and Kaba and Sayil, which are just wonderful, beautiful places, well-maintained. And often, you know, there's only two or three other people wandering around, so you feel like you have it to yourself.
So these are kind of minor Chichen Itzas from the same civilization. And correct me here if I'm wrong, but the Mayan civilization was a vast civilization. And what survives are the major buildings, which were the temple complexes. And they were overrun by the desert and kind of excavated recently. And that's the target of tourists?
As I understand it, yeah, there's a lot about that history that I don't know. But yes, as I understand it, what we've excavated and what we go to visit are kind of the religious centers or the commercial centers of what used to be cities.
Yeah, civilizations build their biggest and most lasting edifices to their biggest gods or their most important priorities. We always think of Maya as a lost civilization, but really the Mayans, I understand, are like, the largest surviving indigenous population in the Americas, and their language and crafts and rituals survive in a lot of ways today. And in that sense, Mayan civilization lives on. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Absolutely. It's a strange thing that people talked about the lost Mayans, because they're everywhere and they're very much alive and they're very much have a culture that exists to this day. You can drive, and we often do drive out for the weekend to explore the peninsula and go to small towns. And there's plenty of very pure Mayans who even only speak the Mayan language, and Spanish is their second language, who still live in the Yucatan Peninsula. And they still have their rituals. And what's nice now is that there's been a real revival. The children and the young people in the area are starting to learn to speak Mayan again. They were once discouraged from speaking it, and then it became uncool to speak it. And now it's becoming cool again to preserve their culture and their language, which we're happy to see.
I find anytime you're in Latin America and you can find indigenous communities that are stepping up and living their culture with a little more confidence, it's a particularly rewarding kind of travel south of our border.
Absolutely. So glad to see that, because it would be a shame to lose all that.
Yeah. Ellen Fields is one of the working gringos who put together the Yucatan Living website a few years ago. She's joining us on Travel with Rick Steves from her home in California to explore what you can find when you wander around Mexico's Yucatan Peninsula. Now, let's say we're set up at our beach resort or in Merida or whatever, and we're exploring the Yucatan. Let's talk about a few things that people might focus on. I understand there's some great bird watching in the Yucatan.
Absolutely. I'm not a big bird watcher, but I have read and heard that there's a lot of birds come to winter in the Yucatan, and there's a lot of water elements. So there's everything from flamingos. There's quite an assortment, and a lot of people now are stepping up to become bird guides and to bring tourists around so that they can see the birds. I should point out, too, that probably if you're bird watching, you wouldn't necessarily go to the Mayan Riviera. You'd probably go to the Yucatan Gulf Coast, which is the coast of Yucatan above Merida, north of Merida. That is the coast on the Gulf of Mexico.
Also for diving. I mean, when I was in that area, the Barrier Reef there is one of the biggest in the world. Incredible visibility. The water's so nice.
Yeah, I never know what the past tense of dive is. We've dove in other places around the world, and the diving off of the Mayan Riviera is as good as anything we've seen. It's beautiful. Cozumel is a great place to go to dive. You can also dive in cenotes, which are freshwater holes that dot the Yucatan Peninsula. And I have not done it myself because I'm a little claustrophobic.
You live in the Yucatan and you haven't swum in a cenote? That was the most beautiful swimming experience I've had in my entire life.
No, I've swum in them.
God, because you've got to do a cenote. That's the most important thing when you go to a cenote.
Yeah, cenotes are fabulous, and they're all over, and it's fun to discover new ones. And
it's like swimming in sparkling water.
Yes, and in fact, it's so clear sometimes it's almost like floating in air. You know, it's just beautiful.
This is Travel with Rick Steves. We're talking with Ellen Fields, and she produces a very helpful website. It's called yucatanliving.com. Helping people, whether they're travelers or expats, learn more about the Yucatan from her experience. And she's lived there for about 10 years. What's your advice for getting off the beaten path, using a resort as a springboard?
The first thing I would do is rent a car. Rent a car and keep an open mind, and bring water because it's hot. So I would rent a car, and I would probably drive out to Valladolid because it's the closest city to the Mayan Riviera that's a colonial city. And it has really great restaurants. The Maison de la Marquise is right downtown. It's this beautiful old kind of Hispanic building with a central courtyard and a fountain in the middle, and the food is very traditional Yucatecan food. We haven't talked about that, but the food in Yucatan is delicious and unlike anything else in Mexico. And then you can walk around the square, you can look in the big cathedral there, you can go to a few beautiful shops. Valladolid is becoming quite the interesting city. There's a place there called Casa de los Venados, which is a private home that is open to the public, I think, every morning at 10. It's owned by a couple originally from Chicago, and they spent their lifetime collecting Mexican arts and crafts. Their house is full of this.
What about going from the great cities and the great sites and the great beach resorts to just finding a little village, just a tiny little village where you really can venture in? Is that an option?
Absolutely. One of the things we like to do is go from Valladolid then back to the Mayan Riviera to Tulum. And along that road are four or five little villages that you drive through, and there's people there selling the things that they've made. You can stop and get a fresh juice or a taco and see how the people are living. In a small village in the Yucatan, there's usually not a restaurant, there's not a hotel, there's nothing that you can do there other than maybe go visit the church if it's open, sit in the park, and, you know, if you're a photographer, you can have a great time.
You come home after a beautiful experience side-tripping like that, and you want some local music. What's the folk music in the Yucatan?
First of all, the Yucatan was famous around the beginning of the 20th century for its music. It's called Trova, and it was famous all over the world at that time. So Trova is still sung and performed throughout Mérida. There's probably no night when you couldn't go find somebody playing that kind of music. The men who are the trovadores gather in the square, and you can just go up to them and have them play a few songs for you, or you can ask them to come to your house and play for a certain amount per hour. Anyway, they are there in groups of twos and threes. So that's the traditional Yucatecan music.
Wow, there's so much to learn and experience and enjoy in the Yucatan. Thanks again, Ellen, and best wishes.
Thank you so much, Rick.
Quisiera preguntar a los ocasos.
Mark Adams reveals what he found looking for the legendary sunken city of Atlantis in just a bit. Up next, the former U.S. ambassador to Switzerland, Anne Lichtenstein, tells us what she and her staff did to represent American interests in Europe. It's Travel with Rick Steves.